Amen. Praise the Lord. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Praise God. All our sins blotted out, removed completely, never to be seen or heard from again. Amen. Praise God.
Oh, Carol, said her subject was not going to be about the blood of Jesus. And so as I was, when she called yesterday and I began to seek God about to it, there hundreds of things went through my head. And so he said, teach about Jesus' blood shed for us. Okay? Thank you, Father, that you open our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord, living God, says to say. And I thank and praise you, Father, that those things that are not of you, that they throw away in the name of Jesus. And I thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first time Jesus' blood was shed is recorded in Luke 2:21. When the eighth day was accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was the name of the angel before him, the name of the angel before he was conceived in the womb gave Mary. This was to fulfill the covenant God made with Abraham and also to fulfill the law of Moses. In Genesis 17:9-14, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between you and me and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of his foreskin, and it shall be a token, a covenant between you and me. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every male child in your generation. He that is born of your house, bought with your money, of any stranger, which is not of your seed, he that is born in your house and he that is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. Do you see why Jesus had to be circumcised? Because had he not, he could have not been the Savior. He could have not done any of the things that he did. Jesus had to fulfill the covenant God made with Abraham and also to fulfill the law of Moses. He was circumcised. This shedding of blood was for himself, that he would not be cut off from his people, and that also he would not be, that we would not be cut off from being the seed of Abraham. Jesus is our head, and we are his body in this earth today. This covenant, God said, was to Abraham after his generation is an everlasting covenant. Do you see how it's everlasting now? Jesus fulfilled it. Can't fail. He was circumcised, and this shedding of his blood was for himself. Oh, I didn't read that. Excuse me. This circumcision was so he could minister under the covenant of Abraham. It was also so he could minister as a prophet under the law. Do you know that Jesus came as an Old Testament prophet? Not as, because he couldn't tell them who he was. He had to keep it hidden until the time he was crucified, because had he told, you know, he answered some questions that you look at and you think, But he answered them so he wouldn't give away who he was. All through the Bible, ever since God said in Genesis that I'll put enmity between the woman and your seed, talking to Satan, and between her seed and your seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. From that moment on, Satan looked to try to destroy the seed of woman. All through the Bible, every time time and time again, he tried to do that. But Jesus won. Okay? This shedding of blood was for our circumcision, not made with hands, according to Colossians 2:11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin, the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When we receive Jesus as the Lamb of God, God opens our heart. Our spiritual heart is in our belly. And he took out the old sin nature, and he rebirthed our spirit with the Word of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb when she said, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." Our birth in the family of God was the same as that. And I put in here that when we asked Jesus to come into our heart, but God quickened to me coming out here tonight, that we really don't have to ask him. Because he says in Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have been religious instead of the word. You know, if you confess with your mouth, if I believe it in my heart, and I confess with the mouth, I am saved. We've tied all kind of knots into that. We need to undo the knots. Okay? After God rebirths our spirit, he seals our spirit with this blood of Jesus and the seal of the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. So, and in the last few years, God has been teaching me that I don't have to plead the blood of Jesus. I have to put my faith in the blood of Jesus, what he did. And I confess with my mouth what that blood does. But I don't have to plead it. I think in the past it was pleading the blood because I was afraid something was going to happen. And if I pleaded the blood long enough, it wouldn't happen. That's not true. There is a blood covenant cut in every one of you. If you could see here, when God took the word of God and sliced between your soul and your spirit, and he took the old sin nature out, and he put his spirit and his word in there, he sealed it with his blood, and he sealed it with the Holy Spirit. To the spirit world, they see that blood. We're the only dumb ones that don't, because we don't see it in the flesh, but it's there. It is there. It is an everlasting covenant cut in the blood of Jesus. If you didn't get anything else tonight, that's worth coming. The second, we have to exercise our faith in this blood covenant, circumcision, so that the enemy cannot deceive us into using our dominion against us. Did you know you have the same dominion Adam had? Do you walk in it? You hope so. Okay, the second time Jesus' blood was shed was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:39-46. And he came and he went, as it was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why do you sleep? rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. This shedding of blood was first for himself. It was the agony to the point of such proportion that the sweat was mixed with blood and it flowed out of his pores. Medically, he was at the point of death. If the angel hadn't have strengthened him, he as a human being would have died. This truly was Jesus submitting his will, his mind, and his emotions, which is his soul, to Father God, dying to himself so that he could go to the cross for you and me. As a man, he knew he faced death as the worst kind of torture, and self-preservation is one of the strongest things that a man has. He wants to preserve himself. He poured out his soul unto death, Isaiah 53:12. Man's soul did not die immediately when Adam sinned. His soul took over. Man began to live by the knowledge of good and evil from his soul. For us as believers, this shedding of blood is his soul an offering for sin. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, Isaiah 53:10-11. So that our soul could die to ourselves, our will, our mind, our emotions, and submit itself to God's will. Also, this sweating of blood redeemed us from what Adam lost in the garden because of sin. In Genesis 3:19, it says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and in dust you shall return." The old man, the Adamic nature, died when Jesus was born and was born again. In Luke 4:4, Jesus answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Matthew 6:31-34, "Take no thought for what you shall eat, no sweat or toil, knowing that God who feeds the birds in the air has taken responsibility to care for us, his family." Do we really believe that? Or do we get up in the morning and worry about what we're going to have for supper? Need to start considering that he has made himself responsible for you. If you look to him, and when your children were little, did they run around and say, "Are you going to feed me today? Are you going to feed me today?" No, they trusted that you were going to do that. And they didn't say, "da da da da." They just trusted. We need to have that trust for God. Because if he tells you to do something, do it. But still look to him. Okay, the third time Jesus' blood was shed, he was struck on the face. In Matthew 26:67, Mark 14:65, Luke 22:64, and John 18:22 is fulfilling the prophecy out of Isaiah 56:7. "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that pulled off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." For Jesus, this blood was so that he could, like Isaiah 53:7 and verse 9 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth." When Emily was in high school, Emily Connell was in high school, the church we were going to was planning a play. And they were going to have Jesus hollering out and carrying on. And she called me and she said, "Miss Elaine, is that right?" And I said, "No, Emily, it's not. It said he didn't open his mouth." She said, "I thought that." We need to know the reason he did not open his mouth. During the time of crucifixion, Jesus did not open his mouth. He could only say the word, and if he'd said the word, it would have stopped the plan of the crucifixion. He is being the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He kept his mouth shut because all he could say was the word. And if he was going to just say the word, he'd have stopped it. Okay, for us, the believer, this blood was shed so that we can speak the words that are redeemed from death to life, from cursing to blessing, from fear to faith, speaking the word of God in boldness and exercising our dominion that God gave Adam, and Adam turned over to Satan, and Jesus redeemed for us. The fourth time Jesus' blood was shed, they scourged him. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. He bore our griefs, which is anxiety, maladies, calamity, disease, grief, sickness. And he carried our sorrow, which is our anguish, our affliction, our grief, our pains, our sorrows. And by his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says, by his stripes we were healed. This blood was shed for our healing. Healing for everything that came with sin. Healing for our soul and our body. Nothing was not covered under the blood. Everything was. Even in Isaiah 53, when this prophecy came forth, God did not say you were going to be healed, but he said you are healed. And then Peter says you were healed. If we continue to say, I'm going to be healed, that's in the future. Never present, so we will never get it because we do not receive what Jesus has already done for us. We wonder why we don't receive it. We have to believe no matter what it looks like, and receive first before we can see the manifestation. And it's hard because you fight your soul. You fight what you see, feel, taste, touch, and smell. And most of the time, we're like a friend of mine. She said when she got married real young, and she said, if I could just go home and sit in my mama's big rocking chair wrapped up in a quilt when I'm sick, my mama would take care of me. That's kind of the attitude we have sometimes. Somebody will take care of us. And I'm probably going to step on something that somebody's going to jump at me. Okay, but it's okay. To pray for healing as a believer is doubt and unbelief because Jesus already paid for our healing and health. We got to quit insulting Jesus by asking for something that he's already paid for and deposited in our account in heaven. We thank him for our healing, looking to the cross, knowing that his great love for us has given it to us. I know it's not the way we think, but that's the truth. If he says, do you ask him every day to save you? Do you go over and say, would you save me again today? I lost it somewhere. Just because we fight this physical battle does not mean that we're not healed. I had migraine headaches, and they would last 4 days. And I'd say, hold me, Edwin, and he'd hold me. And I'd say, turn me loose, Edwin, and he'd turn me loose, and I'd walk. I couldn't lay down, and I couldn't sit down, I'd walk. I finally realized that the first symptom of the migraine headache was above my ear. And the first time I sensed that, I'd say, I'm healed by Jesus Christ. I never had 4 days of migraine headaches anymore. But I had to stand. Did he go away? No, he'd come back over and over and over again. But I was healed because God said I was. And I thank him because it was the most agonizing thing I'd ever been through. Hold on to what he's given you. He gave me this. Your account in heaven is like the bank. You put your money in the bank and you write a check. You put your faith in what God has said for you in the bank in heaven. And when it comes time, you write that check. It's yours. Do you call up the bank every day to find out your balance? Or do you just trust that they're looking after your bank, your money? Then you need to do the same thing with God. When you've stood on the word, when he says you're healed, you're healed. Unless the devil can say, no, you're not. You got a pain in the lower part of your back.
I am too. The Lord says I am.
Thank you. Because that's how we have to do it. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We need to start appropriating it. Do you know that all creation is groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God? They're waiting for us to stand up and take our authority and bring them out of where they are, because they don't like being with weeds and ants and roaches and rats and all of that stuff. They want you to redeem them, to be who God created and designed them to be. If he was the last Adam and he did everything for you that the first Adam lost, bless God, let's get on with it. And it's appropriated in our life so we can give it away. He didn't give us what he's given us for us to hold on to it. He gave it to us to give it to the person here that has that don't know what he says. But if I'm still struggling to prove his word to me, I don't want to give it to anybody because they might think I'm a liar. But if I stand and stand and stand and say, this is what he said, I don't care what it looks like. You know, have you ever prayed for somebody, you'd be struggling and you pray for somebody and they'd be better and you feel like it's going to die? Okay. Exchange that sickness and disease, anxiety, anguish, grief, calamity, malady, affliction, pain. Give it to Jesus hanging on the cross, full of love for us, and receive our healing and health. It is ours, purchased by his body and his blood. The fifth time Jesus' blood was shed was when they plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and spit on him and beat him on the head. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Isaiah 53:5, he says, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That was the price of our peace with God, and also the price written within the peace written within our spirit to rule over our soul and our body. It is paid for that we can be at peace." The word peace means to be set at one again, whole, sound. Jesus is our peace offering. That peace, we wave the breast of the Lamb and worship him, that he loves us. Not that we love him, but that he loves us. We wave it back and forth. And then we heave the thigh of the Lamb from the earth to heaven, from death to life. The thigh represents the power and the strength. The power of the Holy Spirit kept Jesus on the cross because of his love for us. Do you see what that does? When you wave the thigh, the breast, which is the love, and you heave the power and the strength, you form a cross. That's how you get your peace, is through the cross. What he did for us. This shedding of, there is no offense, no depression, no oppression against us, because Jesus paid our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, and we are forgiven. Forgiveness is the basis of our covenant with God. And because Father God in Christ has forgiven us, we are loved by God. Then because we love him and others, we forgive. This is true peace. when we are able to forgive those who trespass against us. This shedding of blood also speaks that we have been redeemed from the thorn that was in the ground because of Adam's sin. In Noah's covenant, God said in Genesis 8, 21 and 22, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Do you think that's true? God said it. He said, as long as the earth remains. Jesus truly fulfilled this on the cross. Also, this blood is that our lives can have the fruit of the Spirit, to come forth out of our spirit. You have love. You have joy. You have peace. You have patience. You have goodness. You have faith. You have gentleness, and you have self-control. It's in there. If the Spirit of the living God is on the inside of us, it's there. The sixth time Jesus shed his blood, they drove the nails in his hands and in his feet. In Isaiah 53, 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53, 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of his people was he stricken. Isaiah 53, 12, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The blood of Jesus was paying the price for Adam's sin, his trespasses against God. For us, Jesus is beloved. This blood gives us remission of sin, his grace. He paid the full price and gave us his undeserved, unmerited favor. The blood was so we could become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Favor in the Greek, it means gratuity, kindness, pardon, rescue, forgiveness, give freely, deliver, grant, and frankly forgive. If we have God's favor, you have a lot of stuff. The seventh time Jesus' blood was shed, they pierced his side. Isaiah 53, 5 says, he was bruised for our iniquity. Isaiah 53, 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and he has turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, and neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53:11 at the end of that verse says, for he shall bear their iniquities. This blood was shed for us for the offense to God's holiness. Jesus bore the punishment for our iniquity, the guilt, the things that no one sees, the things that we do in our mind, in our thought and imagination. Also, it is the redeeming of us from the curse of not keeping the law. Jesus became a curse for us, according to Galatians 3. Sin brought the curse into the earth. It was the result of sin is the curse. Also, this blood redeemed us from what man calls the generational curse. Please, Father, forgive us for ever entertaining in the body of Christ this teaching. In Jeremiah 31, 29 through 30, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. And Ezekiel 18 is full of, the whole chapter is about, if the son shall bear the iniquity of the father, but it says over and over, each one will bear his own sin and his iniquity. So, in Isaiah in Isaiah 53:5, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus bore our iniquity and sin. The sins of the generations past, they cannot come on a believer unless that believer opens his mouth in doubt and unbelief of the Word of God and invites that curse of sin to come into their life. Jesus was born of a virgin, so the generational curse was cut off, wasn't it? Sins passed through the Father's bloodline. Jesus didn't have an earthly father, so he had a heavenly father. So that generation, it was cut off. When we become born again, we are born from above of the seed of God, the incorruptible seed, which is Jesus, the Word, by the Holy Spirit. That's how you got born again. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love. That word translated means to transfer, transport, exchange sides, or carry over. So what God actually did was he picked you up out of the kingdom of darkness and he put you over into the kingdom of his dear Son. You're in a new bloodline. You're in a new home. You're in a new place. Ephesians 3:14 and 15 says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In Philippians 2:9-11, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our family name, Jesus the Christ. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Romans 8:14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but they have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Do you know, I don't know if it's changed or not, but years ago, if you adopted a child, you could disown your own children, but you could never disown that one. That got an inheritance. Remember where that came from? I think it came from God, don't you? When he adopted us, he gave us everything Jesus had to pay his price for. For the earnest expectation of the creatures wait for the manifestations of the Son of God. We need to rise up and let them know that we're sons of God. Hebrews 2:10 says, for it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing the sons into glory, to make the captain of his salvation perfect through suffering. 1 John 3:1-2, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. If truly we are born into the family of God, and Jesus bore all of our iniquities and sins, our sicknesses, diseases, everything, where are you going to find the generational curse? Why is it so hard to believe that we are new creatures in Christ? Old things passed away. And The old sin nature was crucified with Christ, and we're raised in newness of life. One question, please. Does God have any generational curses in his lineage? Then how can we be born again to be sons of God, have any generational curses in our lineage? Y'all, I want to tell you, share one thing. Before I ever knew this, I'd go to the doctor, especially when I was pregnant. And they'd ask you, did your mama have heart trouble? Did your daddy have this? And I just marked no, not claiming none of that. I know the truth. I just knew I wasn't going to take it. If they found it, there was a whole different thing. But they were going to have to look for it. So I just went, nope. Then I got born again and found, well, I was already born again, but I learned the truth that Jesus bore all that for me, and I don't have to bear it. Even today, you go to the doctor, what your mama died, well, my mama was 92. I think she just gave up. You know, she was just ready to go home. If Charles Couch can sit out, can have a party the night before he goes home to be with the Lord and tells his family, I'm going home to be with the Lord tomorrow, I think I can do that too. I don't want to leave this earth. And my sister will say, what did they die of? I said, I don't have any idea. You know, their spirit left their body. E.W. Kenyon ate breakfast with his daughter in 1948, I think it was, and he said, I'm going home. He went out on his porch, sat down in the chair, and he was gone. I want to occupy as long as I'm on this earth. And if I don't, slap me. So you wake me up. We are truly blessed to be redeemed, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' blood. Walk in the fullness of what Jesus did for us at the cross. With the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body, when we take communion and see that Jesus truly loves us to take our sins, our iniquities, our sicknesses, our diseases of the soul and the body, as well as, I've got ahead of myself. Okay, he truly paid a price he did not owe for us because we owed a price we could not pay. We are to receive his love and what his love did for us. His love, and because of his love, his power helped him during those hours of the crucifixion to endure the pain, the shame, the true agony. His love by his power helped him on that cross for every human ever born on this earth. He endured the agony of having Father God turn his back so that the wrath against sin could come on him, so the price was paid in full, so that we can be righteous before an almighty God. You have the greatest gift in the entire world on the inside of you, and that is the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and God, because he says, Jesus said, where he was, the Father was. And we need to learn how to walk in victory. It can't come just overnight, but it's got to be taken moment by moment, step by step. Used to think that when I gave up on something, I fell back. That's not true. Because once I said Jesus and repented, I was right back where I started from. He doesn't want you to fail. Did you want your children to fail? You'd almost move heaven and earth to keep them from doing that. Why do you not think God would do that? If I don't know something, I ask. My mother used to say, when I was little, you ask more questions than a Philadelphia lawyer. And I said, what's a Philadelphia lawyer? But I wanted to know. And that's the way I do God. If I don't know it, I say, this is what I'm facing. I see this in your word. I want you to show me. The Holy Spirit is sent to teach you, to guide you, to lead you into all truth, to only speak of Jesus and to tell you of things to come. And he's no respect. He won't say, now I'll tell Sharon, but I'm not going to tell you. That's not true. Sometimes it's later. Sometimes he makes me wait a while because I hadn't got my thinking's out of whack. But he always answers you. Always. But I can tell you this. If I pester him and I whine, I can forget it. Because he don't listen to that. But if I walk in faith, believing he's going to show me, and I want him to take what you've heard tonight and show you the truth. Not what I say, but what he says. Now, is there anybody needs our agreement? It is funny to me that he says, the believers lay hands on the sick. He didn't even say you had to pray. Did he? So when I'm sick, when I'm battling something, I want believers to lay hands on me. Because they bring their faith alongside of me. But if there's any need here tonight, don't let me put you off. If there's any other need, well, I know we've prayed for healing, but any other need, please let us know, okay? I'm going to close. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I worship you for who you are. I thank you and praise you that you're our Father, our God, our Savior, our Lord. And you gave us the very best you had. You gave us your love. And we just give you thanksgiving and praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.